You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. Rest in Christ, finding peace in Jesus. This is what we are going to study for 3 months in 13 lessons, finding out how we can find this wonderful safety, resting in peace. In Jesus Christ. How can it be? How can we find this? If we find it, we will experience the highest quality in life ever. We are going to study this. I hope you will be with us. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson 2. Restless and rebellious. We read in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It's for our admonition. That's the point. It's something for us to learn about their experiences, their mistakes, their failures, so that we do not repeat the mistakes of the past. Of our forefathers. It's better to listen and to study and to see, this was the problem. They shouldn't have done that. Well, then I try another way, a better way, because it's written for our admonition. God wants us to have a life full of quality, not a restless and rebellious life. It will not be the best for us, as we can imagine. So how to get something better? And to get something better is trusting in Jesus, loving him so that you can experience with what you can see on this piece of art here. Drawn by the Austrian artist Maximilian Jantscher. Jesus had healed the person who had been born blind. But then he was healed. And then he could see. And here we see how Jesus, putting his arms around the shoulders of this blind-born person, we see his love, how he addresses this sinner. He, our Lord, our Creator, wants him to be safe forever. Restless in a wilderness. On this photo we can see how a wilderness looks like. So it's not easy surviving in such an area. It's very difficult. When I first visited such a desert, the heat is enormous. And your lust for water is enormous too. It's an unforgettable experience. Well, the Israelites, when they were there, and they got water, they got manna, but they were lusting for flesh. They had got in Egypt. In Egypt they had experienced slavery, haven't they? But this was forgotten. But now, they want to have something for their taste in their mouth. And God sends them birds. But they are so full of greed, and they cannot wait. They do not even cook or prepare it so that you can eat it. No, they just eat the raw material, and many, many of them die. They are restless. They are in the wilderness. They do not see all the blessings, all the advantages they have experienced in the wilderness. They just want to have their own way of living. And there, in this attitude, they are a parable for us, aren't they? God wants us to see how we can survive with his help, even in a wilderness. But we, as human beings, we tell him what we would like to have. We want to tell him we know it better. And this is unbelief, distrusting the Almighty. It's contagious. The Israelites were led by Jesus and by three Israelites, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And these three, they were the leaders. But one day, Moses was so exhausted, so much exhausted, that he asked for help. And then God told him, well, choose 70 elders and they will help you in leading the people. And after this had happened, Miriam became envious because of these 70 elders. So her role was in a way minimized. And she started to attack her brother Moses. And she found a companion in Aaron, her brother. These two, Aaron and Miriam, they went up to Moses and criticized him because he had taken Zipporah, person from the land of Midian, for his wife. And this was something which ached a lot in Moses' heart. And we read, the Lord heard it, what Miriam had said, how she criticized Moses. The Lord heard it. A short sentence. And then he came down. And Miriam, Aaron, Moses, they had to appear at this tent in the wilderness, this tent which was, in a way, a temple. And there, God told them, You have started criticizing my servant Moses. And from that moment on, Miriam got leprosy in a jiffy, from one second to the other. She was shocked, but Moses prayed for her. And after a week, she was healed again. Restlessness leads to rebellion. The Israelites are in the wilderness, led by God. They survive because they get water from God, food from God, manna. And then there are only 11 days for walking to get there, to the land of Canaan, to get to the borders. And they cannot wait any longer. And they want to have information about the new land. And so, it was not the plan of God, but the plan of the people. And so Moses sent 12 spies, from each tribe, one of the elders. And they went onwards to find out what is the land all about. 11 days going there, 11 days going back, it's 22 days, and then they spent 18 days walking around, looking around, watching what's going on there. And after 40 days, they were back. They came back with grapes, imagine. They carry it on a stick. Grapes. It was so huge, it reached towards the bottom from the shoulders. Really great. And the land, full of milk and honey, as it was said. But there are giants, and they have walls around their towns. Oh, too high, too strong. We're not able to get into it. But two of the spies, of the 12, so 10 had said, wonderful, but no chance. And two, Caleb and Joshua, they said, well, it's really so, that's a fact, but with God we will manage. But then the Israelites said, oh no, we can't. God is not so mighty. We will not succeed. And they wanted to put them to death through stoning. An intercessor. Now when Joshua and Caleb should be murdered by the people of Israel because they said trust in God, then God intervened and he appeared in front of them in this cloud of glory. And he said to Moses, well, I will kill them all. And out of you will be a new people. You will be the head of a new people. So this was something which sounded very strange to Moses' ears. And he said, then the Egyptians will hear it if you destroy these people. And he suggests something else. Moses is an intercessor. He intercedes for the Israelites. And he begs God, forgive them. Forgive them. You're full of love. You're so warm-hearted. Forgive them. They have done a great mistake, but it's such a failure. But forgive them, I beg, in their behalf. He's an intercessor. So he is a type of Jesus, Moses, a type for Jesus. And when Moses intervened, although the people wanted to put to death by stoning Joshua and Caleb, God listened to Moses' prayer. He listened. And he was willing to forgive them, which is a miracle. Because God's will had been that they will get there. And they did not trust anymore in him. And therefore, he wanted to destroy them all and to kill them all. But Moses, he intervened. Faith versus presumption. Now the Israelites had made up their mind and said, we have no chance, we will never manage possessing this land of Canaan. It's impossible. These giants there, we cannot win the battle against them. But now, God said, if they are not willing to go in there, then we will act in the following way. 40 days the spies had been there, and for each day there will be a year. So for 40 years they have to wander around in this wilderness. And no one of these rebellious people will be allowed to get there. No one. So all those who are more than 20 years old, because then you were an adult, and only Joshua and Caleb, they are the only two who will survive. Now when they heard this judgment of God, they became rebellious again. Wow, we are not allowed to go there, but we want to go there. Oh, really? Hadn't they just said it's no chance? With God, they said, we will not manage. Without God, they say, oh yes, we will succeed. And this is presumptuous. Therefore, faith versus presumption. They were unbelievers and presumptuous. And they started to attack the Canaanites. Yeah, what happened? They were thrown back. They came back full of blood. They did not succeed. Of course not. And we humans very often act in the same way. God tells us a way, and we say, oh no, and we choose another one. It's a warning for us. Summary. God led the people of Israel in the wilderness and through the wilderness. And he supplied them with water and with food, manna. When they saw it for the first time, they asked, manu, what's this? And therefore the word manna appeared on the scene. Now, this manna was very special. It was on the ground in the morning. But when the sun came up and when it became hot, then it melted away. You couldn't see it anymore. It just disappeared. So you had to be up early in the morning collecting manna. And it was there every morning. First day of the week, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And on the seventh day, on Saturday, on Sabbath, nothing at all. But we would like to eat on Sabbath too. Therefore God said on Friday, prepare yourself and collect the double amount so that you have something for the Sabbath day. But on Sabbath, you have a day off, it's a holiday, you have your food already at home. And then some clever people thought, well, what works on Friday, collecting the double amount, I will do the same on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, when all the others go out collecting manna, I will stay in my bed and let the others work. And they did so. But what happened? When they wanted to eat on Wednesday morning? It had become bad. You couldn't eat it. Warm scrawling out of it. Oh no. But when you collected it on Friday, it was well on Sabbath. So God trained them, working 6 days, having Sabbath as a holiday, a day off. He trained them into a rhythm of time. This is God.